Red Film Radio.
Red Film Radio.
Interview.
Interview.
Our first guest on the Big Fret Tuesday is Maya Zinstein, director of Till Kingdom Come, which is a documentary that explores the controversial link between U.S. Christian evangelicals and Israeli Jews. The film has screened at some film festivals throughout the year and will be screening at the upcoming edition of IDFA as well. Maya, welcome to the show.
Hello, Matt. How are you?
I'm really well. How are you doing?
I'm good. Very excited.
Very exciting times. Yeah, we'll be talking about your latest film in a moment, but this is the first time we're talking. So what I like to do with these conversations for the Big Fret Tuesday, which is the name of the show, is I kind of like to start by finding out a little bit more about the people I'm interviewing. And because I understand that you are a documentarian, but also a journalist and a reporter, I was sort of interested to know whether you always kind of pictured yourself being both, you know, a journalist and a filmmaker.
Well, actually, no. My dream when I was a child was to become an investigative journalist. But I think it's okay to update your dreams, you know, when you're growing up. I started as a journalist and actually as a documentary producer. But I understood that a documentary filmmaking kind of combining both for me. I found the documentary filmmaking extremely fascinating. Again, I started as a producer, so I kind of looked on it from the side, let's say. It just a matter of what is the best way to tell stories and to, well, maybe it will sound like saying something really big, but try to influence try to change something that bothers you. And my previous film, Forever Pure, definitely created a big change here in Israel. So I understood that this is what I want to be when I will be a grown up.
yeah. But what was it, that prompted you to actually want to become an investigative journalist? Was there a specific event, or was it just a general feeling that you had growing up?
Well, it's a good question. You know, I immigrated to Israel when I was 10 from Russia. And I read a very interesting sociological research that said that actually immigrants, their way to feel that they are actually accepted in the new place, it's to try to have a feeling that they are succeeding to make a change or to influence this new place for them. So I don't know if it's true, but I think definitely I had this feeling from a very young age that I want to be able to change things here in Israel. And I thought that to be an investigative journalist, this is something to uncover, you know, things that I'm not agreeing with them. That would be the right way to do it. But I, to be honest, today, I think the documentary filmmaking and storytelling is much more effective. And I can tell you later about the release of this film of Till Kingdom Come that has been broadcasted in Israel just 2 days ago and has such a wide, amazing response. Yeah, I think the documentaries has a huge amount of power to actually, you know, to say, if you want to say something.
Yes, absolutely. I understand what you're saying. I also, my family emigrated from Italy to Ireland, and I was about 10 when that happened. So I understand exactly what you're saying. But, and we will be talking about your film because it'll be screening in IDFA in a few days from the recording of this interview, and it has also screened in some film festivals, I understand. Before we do, as a filmmaker, but also as someone from Israel, in a general sense, I suppose, do you think or do you feel that there are a lot of misconceptions about Israel and the world and a lot of misinformation about what's going on there?
You know, that's a good question. There's a lot of things that we can be proud about. unfortunately, that we cannot be proud about that happened here. But I think, of course, when you kind of looking from within, you see the picture in a much more complex way. But it doesn't mean that the bottom line is different, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, of course, when you're looking on something from outside, you cannot understand fully all the complexity on the ground. And that's why it's important, you know, it's important for me from one hand to, of course, to try to be part of the broad documentary community and to bring my films, you know, outside, but also to speak internally. And I do think that it's important that films about Israel will be made by Israelis, because hopefully we can explain better maybe what is going on here without, of course, undermining the huge problems that we have here.
Yeah, and maybe we can go back to what you said as well in this answer by speaking about your latest film, which is titled Till Kingdom Come. And its topic is quite fascinating. I mean, it is an investigative documentary, and it explores the controversial links between the U.S. evangelical Christians and Israeli Jews. And, you know, going back to what I asked you earlier, I don't want to contribute to the misinformation, because despite my interest in the topic and just the situation at large, I will readily admit to not being an expert. But so could you explain maybe a little bit to our listeners more about what this link is and what makes it quote unquote controversial?
So, yeah, so Till Kingdom Come basically tells the story of the influence of the Christian evangelicals, and specifically the American Christian evangelicals community here in Israel and in the Middle East generally. I think that the time that I decided to start filming was actually 3 years ago with a brand new American president, Trump, that is fully backed by the evangelicals, and it was quite clear that he's probably that they are going to have a huge influence on his foreign policy here in the Middle East. So the film kind of explores this love of the Christian evangelicals to Israel and what this love actually means. So the film starts from a tiny mining town in Kentucky, in Middlesbrough, Kentucky, where three generations of pastors supporting Israel. It's a very poor place, one of the poorest places of America. And this small church is actually one of the biggest donors of the biggest philanthropic organization in Israel, the Fellowship of Christians and Jews. So it's a very interesting connection of, you know, very poor people donating almost their last dollar in a hope that that will bring, that it will get closer to the coming back of Jesus Christ. And of course, the all connection of Christian evangelicals to Israel is based on the prophecy that Israel plays a key role in the return of Jesus Christ to the second coming, let's say. So I'm connecting this tiny town in Kentucky with the decisions that Trump takes here in the Middle East through the last 3 years, and connecting, you know, what happens. Basically, I would say how a lady that bakes cakes in Kentucky moves the embassy from Tel Aviv, the American embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, earlier I said that I'm no expert on the topic, but I also feel like this link that you have explained, as well as the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, is just something that is not talked about and well known. So how did you find out about it?
So, you know, as again, the connection between being an investigative journalist and a documentary filmmaker, I guess, you know, when I'm starting to explore something new, and I had really didn't know anything about this before I started, first you're just mapping all the key players in this bond between the Jews and the Christians. and you try to understand what is the way, what would be the best way to tell the story. And the fellowship is probably one of the major players, definitely. Which also, you know, has a very interesting history because Rabbi Kiel Eckstein, that established the fellowship, actually was one of the pioneers in this alliance. So, yeah, I think I pretty much explored all the organizations that are on the ground. And at some point we decided that they can be a very interesting part for us, which again, been connected because I basically came to them and I told them, who are your major donors, you know? And it's interesting because the fellowship, usually most of their donations coming from individuals. So it's very small donations that, you know, sometimes it's $40 a month that they receive from just great amount of people around the world, and specifically in America, in United States. And they said, listen, there's this very interesting church that actually it's quite unique for us because they are donating as a church, not as an individual. And by the way, they are coming for their annual tour in Israel in 2 weeks. So we can introduce you. And yeah, and I said, yes, I really want to meet them. And, you know, they landed in Israel and then they met me. And I asked their permission to join for a day of their tour. And I stayed for the all 10 days. And AB and I, Abram Troen, that is my, that was the DOP and the producer of the film. We spent 10 days with these people, which were amazing, really. On the personal level, and also it was just fascinating, you know, to see Israel, our home, through their eyes. And at the end, I told him, okay, I'm coming to Kentucky. And I think they never believed that I will actually do that. But in two months later, AB and I landed in Middlesbrough, Kentucky. And once I saw it, it's a really incredible. It's a small town of 10,000 people with a huge Israeli flag in front of the church. And when I saw it, and then this image of the Star of David on the cross in their church, it just blew my mind. I said, oh my God, this is the place.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like to say, oh my God, in the church.
Yeah.
When you say, oh my God, in the church, this is something that that works.
I seem to have gathered that the evangelicals were quite open to being filmed. Is that right?
Well, you know, it's I think it was, it's you know, when Pastor Boyd Bingham, when we had the first dinner, you know, they just landed and I came to their hotel to have a dinner with them. And he just told me, you know, I watched Forever Pure on Netflix. And that was amazing. Because I said, how come, like, why a pastor in Kentucky watched a film about Israeli soccer team, you know? So he already kind of knew my work. But, you know, I think it's never so easy, and it's never, it's always a journey. I do think that the fact that AB and I are Israelis and Jews played a role.
Yeah, yeah. In this, I was going to ask that.
Yeah, because you know, in a way, and I think it also allowed us to come with an open heart to them, because you know, it's just a small example, but I think it's kind of summarizing a much bigger situation. So the Boyd and you know, the Pastor William and everyone there, they have a quite heavy Southern accent. And they you know, they joking on themselves that everyone perceived them as hillbillies. And and to be honest, I never heard this expression before. And, you know, and I can hear that they probably have some accent, but I don't have any cultural connection to this. Like I don't put them in any box when I hear their accent. So that kind of helped me, I think, to come to them and look at them as a clean page, you know. And I think same thing happened with us. They could not put me in a box because I'm the other, I'm a total stranger for them. And I think it's a fair place to start making documentaries.
To start, actually, what was your initial stance or viewpoint on the situation with the U.S. evangelicals and the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews? Let's say before you even started filming them or before you even met them.
You know, as I said, I'm always doing a very serious research before I start. And you know, the reason that I started to be interested in this topic was because I really can't, like, you know, in Israel, it's interesting because in Israel, most of the people would tell you, yeah, I heard something about the evangelicals. These are the Christians that love us. And that basically, that's it. So I think I knew about, like, I know that I knew about them. I knew that they exist, but like not much more than that. And then I've been asked to help in some other project that the evangelicals were a small part in it. And that kind of, you know, brought me to start reading about them. And then I found myself, you know, reading till 5 a.m. Articles about their political involvement and influence here, and what motivates them to be, you know, so involved on the political level. And it was just amazing. I said, that's crazy. You know, nobody in Israel really knows that there's this power under the radar that plays quite a significant role in our present and our future. And nobody here talks about it. And it was quite clear for me that, you know, this influence is just that, yeah, that we're heading towards 3 years of a president of the United States that actually owes them his presidency. So he's probably going to pay back. And I remember that one of the heads of one of the organizations that working with evangelicals, he actually told me, you know, Maya, if you will be patient, so maybe towards the end of 2019, maybe the beginning of 2020, President Trump might recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And suddenly all that happened in like half year and he moved the embassy. You know, I'm always joking that I was totally sure that moving the embassy would be the end of my third act. And actually it became to be the end of my first act.
Yeah. So far we've discussed the political side of the story, but then I'm also interested in the religious side of the story. Just out of curiosity, would you say that you are a religious person?
Oh no, I'm a totally secular person, but I do want to say that, you know, I think faith is a very important thing. I think I understand why people need to believe in something, anything, you know. So I'm recognizing this sentiment. But no, I'm not religious at all. But I do have a lot of respect for faith, if we can summarize it in that way.
No, I'm obviously, I mean, this, the religious side of this story, I felt was very important. And in a way, despite the controversial links, would you say that there's also, I don't know, something quite universally positive about this story, as well? In a way, it is a meeting of two different religions.
It's a very good question. And, you know, from one hand, I would tell you, yes. Of course, it's good when religions has a conversation. But I have to tell you that my feeling always when I was a part of this, when I was filming these conversations, when I was, you know, looking at these conversations from a side, it never felt me a totally honest conversation.
Yeah, the word hypocrisy comes up in the documentary.
Yeah, and it was, you know, because it's, you know, when if we want to be friends, let's sit and talk about all the difficulties in our relationship.
Yeah.
And put it on the table. And my constant feeling that it's never fully honest. And, you know, maybe people that are part of this conversation will tell you that I'm totally wrong, but that's really my feeling from looking on it from the side, because you can't forget there is a big problem in this bond that, in a way, that, you know, the elephant in the room is that Jews think that Christ does not exist, you know, and Christians think that Jews, you know, at the end, Jews will die or convert themselves. And sometimes, you know, they love to use this joke to say, well, when Messiah will come, we'll ask him if it's his first time or the second, and one of us will be right. But I think it's a kind of way to not to deal with this very big issue.
I think people, when we talk about cinema, have a certain perception of investigative documentary being very aggressive. But what I appreciated in your film is that it seems to have a more reflective tone, less aggressive, more perhaps inspired by, I guess, a desire to understand and even to talk about these things.
Well, thank you. You know, that was a huge question that we all dealt, you know, AB and I, while we were filming. But then later we had a really amazing editing team, and we worked with the writer, Mark Monroe. So I think this was our one of the biggest questions: what is the best way to tell this story? It was a early decision that I made. Actually, that were based on a way that I told, that I chose to tell Forever Pure, my previous film, that is also very much kind of looking on the situation without actually, you know, showing very aggressive events in a very non-aggressive way. And, you know, it was a big question if this will work this time as well. Because here, you know, in Forever Pure, I was filming soccer fans shouting death to Arabs from stands, so that's quite clear. And here, everything is much more subtle. So it was a really big concern of mine if people will actually understand. You know, we're living today in a world of texts with exclamation marks, and here the whole film relies on subtext. But it was really important for me not to make a Borat thing, which, you know, these days is very much discussed, and I think it has a place to exist, and it's important. But I just trying to do something totally different. I think, especially in this polarized situation, that we don't really have an opportunity, you know, to look on the other side. I think it's extremely important to succeed, to bring to the screen, to actually to let people to explain themselves, and then to let the viewer to decide what he thinks about it. And our role is kind of to go and highlight the dark side of the moon, and then to let to the viewer to decide that he likes it or not.
Sure. It's a very democratic approach.
You know, it's funny because it's my second film that I'm dealing with the extremism, I would say, but I'm a very much not an extremist person.
yeah. No, you can tell. You can definitely tell from watching the film that you're no extremist.
And you know, and I'll tell you something. I think that's the beauty of the situation. The people in Kentucky, you know, they are wonderful people with some very right. problematic views. But
yes.
It doesn't, I will never, ever, you know, color them just in dark colors, and because that's not who they are. And that's the beauty of and actually, you know, going back to the beginning of our conversation, that's the biggest difference between journalism and filmmaking. I think I have an opportunity to draw a much complex picture here than just, you know, investigative journalists that you kind of constantly need to go to the point.
No, it's a fascinating film, and we've completely run out of time. But I should mention that the film is obviously super relevant today because the interview will air on the day of the U.S. election.
Wow!
So, I mean, would you like to maybe end with quick thoughts on about the possible outcomes or anything that could happen today?
Oh, you know, that would be a very bad idea to do so.
Okay.
I really don't know, you know, it's so, yeah, such a crazy times. I really have no idea. I think definitely if you would ask me before the pandemic, I would tell you after spend so much time in areas like Kentucky, I would tell you that Trump probably will take it. But today it's such a different world, so I really don't know.
Right. Okay, Maya, thank you very much. It's been fascinating.
Thank you very much.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.